All right, the spiritual significance of colors. We're doing white. This is the second part of that study. And last study we'll be doing on the colors. The main truth that we need to glean from this entire series on colors is in scriptures is this the truth of this verse, Psalms 139, verse 12. Yea, darkness hides not from you. But the light shines, the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And that's because he created them both. He knows exactly what's in both of them because they are in him. You say, there's no darkness in God. No, but he's the creator of darkness. God's the creator of both light and darkness, and he tells us that that's so. Both are instruments in his hand. Isaiah 45, verse 5 through 7. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's no God beside me. I girded you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace. And I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. You get yourself kicked out of some churches just reading that verse. The Father uses light to describe himself, and he uses darkness to describe how the flesh and the adversary perceive him and his works. These two verses reveal who the creator of light and darkness, who is the creator of light and darkness, and they reveal that the creator of both is the sovereign. Is sovereign over light and darkness. Both are instruments in his hand to accomplish his will. And there it is again. You know, they are his creation. God is using light and darkness, black and white, after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's what it's all about. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So I've said it many times, you know, the whole Bible from beginning to end is all about two men. But I need to restate that statement because it's actually about what the creator of those two men are doing with those two men. But those two men are our old man and our new man. And it doesn't matter what the subject is, whether it's Adam and Eve and the serpent or Noah and the flood, Abraham and coming out of Ur, all these things have to do with our old man and our new man, all of them. Our last study was mainly concerned with the negative application of the color white. The word for white in the Hebrew is laban, and we learned that it's a negative application. A white hair and a skull indicated the presence of leprosy. And there it is in Leviticus 13, verses 24 and 25. If there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, then the quick flesh that burns have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair is in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in a sight deeper than the skin, it's a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's the plague of leprosy. The bricks used to build the Tower of Babel were white bricks, apparently, because the word for bricks is the root for the Hebrew word for white. It's just got the A-H on the end, Lebanah. It's from 3835, meaning a brick from whiteness of the clay. When we look up 3835, the root word from which 3843 is derived, this is what we find. A primitive root to become white or to make bricks. Those are a couple of verses from our last study where the focus was on the negative application of the word white in Scripture. In today's study, we'll focus on the positive application. The first positive application of the word white is in the Old Testament is in Genesis 30, verse 35, where Jacob uses white streaked rods to distinguish the portion his portion of the flock from Laban's. The word Laban, his uncle's name, was white. White in this story is tied to the concept of divine provision and God's favor. So when I say that the first mention of white in the King James is the story of Jacob and these streaks in the wood that he rods that he made. I'm talking about the word white in the King James because the word Laban itself is the same word and it appears earlier. But anyway, Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear, which was in the rods. And of course, going back to Babel, it's mentioned there also. But he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs. When the flocks came to drink, they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob's, or I mean, Jacob's flocks flourished as Laban's flocks dwindled. Isaiah gives us the single most profound meaning of the word white in its positive application in Scripture, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, which is white also. The imagery of this verse demonstrates the efficacy of the blood of Christ upon the manifest sins and of the weakest, most despised people of this age. Speaking of you and me, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29. For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why does he do it that way? That no flesh should glory in his presence. So that's why you and I are called, is because we're weak and despised and hated by the world. And we are foolish. The Lord has called us because we are indeed foolish and weak and despised in this present time. That no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, if the Lord can cleanse us, he can cleanse any and all men, because all men's sins are as scarlet before the Lord's our spotless Lord. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 14. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. After this is after he saw the 144,000. So this is a different group. 144,000 were numbered. This group isn't. A great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You know, when you read it in the seventh chapter there, and you're totally unaware of the sum of God's word, it makes it sound like these people just stood up next, right after the 144. That's not the way it is. There's 1,000 years between these two groups. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, he could easily have said there, these are those that come out of the lake of fire and make their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, but he didn't. So we have to put the sum of God's word together to see that, because it's not intended for the world to understand the word of God in this age. Just isn't. Isn't intended. They cannot. It's foolishness to them. Now, this is how our father sees his son, Daniel 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That's how God describes Christ, who is the express image of his Father, who is our door to his Father. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus to them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. But if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. It's the same pillar, mind you, but look at the difference from one side to the other. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. That's like saying it came between God's people and the world. And it was a cloud and darkness to Egypt, and it gave light by night to these, to Israel, God's people, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Christ separates his people from the world and keeps them from coming near of the world. He does this by appearing as a cloud and darkness to the world. This was our focus last week. In this study, we'll focus on how the color white is used by God to show us that he gives light by night to these. Now, that's a principle of who Christ is, how he operates, and how we are to understand his word. He's the word. He is the light. But he's also the one who makes darkness and blinds people. God is the one who doesn't give them eyes to see and ears to hear. God's elect fall but rise to be made white. Daniel 11, verse 30 to verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Speaking about the man of sin there in Daniel 11. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Now, the reason he can deceive people by flatteries is because they all agree that flesh is the epitome of what God created when it's far from it. They that understand among the people shall instruct many, and shall fall, and they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and spoil many days. Now, when they fall, they shall be holpen with little help, but many will cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge them, and to make them white, even to the time of the end. Because it is yet for a time appointed. White is intimately connected with God's chastening grace. Once the Lord opens our eyes, when we see the word white, then they of understanding will now know and instruct many. God's words all have both a positive and a negative application, all of them, because God is the creator of both light and darkness, and he is the word and the good and the evil in all of us. They will also instruct many that when all is said and done, we will all be made white through the purging trials. So we read in Daniel 12, starting in verse 6, and one said to the man clothed in white linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. That's another way of saying 3.5 years, and 42 months, or 1,216 days, all saying the same thing and all having to do with the time of our trial and our work on this earth that God is doing in us. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Now listen to this, because this tells you the difference between the people of the Old Testament and those who know God in the New Testament. And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So the Old Testament is actually all the lessons in it are just for us. It wasn't for them at all. It even says in the New Testament, I think it's 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, they ministered not to themselves but to us. Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So there it is. It comes out and tells us many will be made white and tried. It's only through our fiery trials that we are made white. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, don't think it strange when it comes on you, your fiery trials. And that's 1 Peter 4:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How many? What percentage? 100%. All. That's 2 Timothy 3:12. Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Doing what? Teaching. That Greek word there is pahiduin. It should be translated chastening us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So grace chastens. That's what it does. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said unto me, These are they which come up out of great tribulation. Wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's our fiery trials that make us worthy to wear white linen. 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. White is intimately connected with light and clothing or raiment. The righteousness of the saints is Christ's righteousness. It's in him that the saints are clean and white. Matthew 17:2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Now get that right there, because that's the point of this study. Light and white are that closely associated. And he prayed Luke 9:29, and he prayed the fashion, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Matthew 28:3, this is the angel at the tomb when Christ was resurrected. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Mark 9:3, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. So no fuller so as no fuller on earth could fight them. Revelation 3, verse 4 and 5. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which is spiritually dead, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, tongue, and people, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Revelation 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So white is associated with righteousness. Revelation 19, verse 8. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. John 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. White is associated with God's elect. Revelation 2, 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. Revelation 3, verse 4, which I read earlier, there are few in Sardis who will be walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out. In Revelation 3, 18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Revelation 4, 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. That word seats is thronos. They're thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold, because they were sitting on thrones as rulers. So who are the 24 elders? The four beasts. The four beasts and the 24 elders. Both symbolize God's elect. Revelation 5, verse 8. When he, Christ, had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals there, for you were slain and have redeemed us, four beasts and the 24 elders, to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." That means they're the same as the 144,000 who reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The next chapter tells us that all of God's elect are given white robes. Revelation 6, 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth?" And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said to them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brothers that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. You say, "Well, you mean I've got to be killed?" Well, yeah, we all have to die daily. That's the killing he's talking about. That's the beheading that he's talking about. Beheading our old man and giving Christ his proper place on the throne of our heart. When Christ appears into this world, it will be on a white cloud. Revelation 14, 14, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. That white cloud on which he is seated signifies the great cloud of witnesses which we all are. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The seven angels who pour out the seven last plagues upon us are clothed in pure and white linen. Revelation 15:6. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Now, who are these seven angels? Revelation 21:17. He measured the wall there of 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angels. Revelation 19:10 tells us who these angels with the seven last plagues are. I fell at his feet to worship him. This is one of the angels that had poured out the seven last plagues. It showed him the judgment, showed him who the whore was, and showed him her judgment in chapters 17 and 18. And he said to me, "See, you do it not. I'm your fellow servants and of your brothers that have the testimony of Jesus." In other words, that angel signifies you and me and all who are in Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 22:8-9 says the same thing. I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said to me, "See, you do it not, for I am your fellow servant." That's who I signify. And of your brothers, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Christ's bride is just one more type of the Lord's elect. She's arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, signifying the righteousness of Christ in her. Revelation 19:8, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now here are a few more verses connecting the righteousness of Christ with the color white. Revelation 19:14, the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne. It's a righteous throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. This white throne is the same as the white cloud in an earlier scripture. Revelation 14:14, I looked and behold a white cloud. Upon the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. All right, here's our conclusion. White signifies Christ and all that are in him. Revelation 1:12-14. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that you may be rich, and white raiment. Buy of me white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Revelation 6:2, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the first seal. This first white horse is Christ when he comes to us and deals our beast his deadly wound. And he, Christ, it is he, Christ, who comes to us as mature sons. White signifies the beginning and the end of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. And then in verse 14, we're told the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Never let us forget what we learned, what we started with. The angel of God went before the camp of Israel and removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before them, went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, and it gave light by night to Israel, so that the one came not near the other all night. In Psalms 139, verse 12, yes, the darkness and the light hides not from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. So that's our study for today.